Okay, here we are.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and I hear you guys talking when I get on the phone. It's really cool to have you guys, you know, share information, and I hope you're also utilizing the Facebook page for that because, you know, it's such a great resource. Now, welcome to 2014. I'm really happy to be here for all Numerology Academy members, and I don't know if all of you have experienced breakthroughs yet, but that number 7 is very, very active this year because it's coupled with the 14-5, and those numbers are both in the mind triad of numbers. So they're very incisive numbers. They're both about change and pivot points, and, you know, 5 is more about decisions and freedom, and 7 is about, you know, unexpected spiritual insights and getting in touch with your mission and what brings you fulfillment. And so, you know, together these two numbers are just bringing some really amazing, very unexpected events for all of us if we're open to them. I've already experienced some. My husband had an amazing experience just over the last few days. That culminated today, and my daughter as well. And so I really see it in action. A good friend of mine had an amazing spiritual experience of a very different kind when his mother actually passed away earlier this morning, and he wrote me an email that was so beautiful, so touching about, you know, an angel visiting him and what happened in the last, you know, hours with his mom and what he experienced with his father. And, you know, there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful connections being made right now for all of us in all parts of our life, whether it is your actual vocation or something deeply personal, family, you know, it's very, very beautiful and very exciting at the same time. So having said that, we have a lot of questions this morning that came by email, and I also opened up the phone lines for you. You can just press *6 and get in line if you have a question for me live on the call today. And for those of you who are on the call who actually sent in your email questions beforehand, I know some of you will be on the call, so you can get in line as well if you want to chat about anything that I bring up. So that will be lots of fun. Now, we have a couple questions about names, so I want to study that again with you because, you know, Webinar 5 in Numerology Academy Level 1 is obviously jam-packed with information about how to calculate names. And I know there are a lot of steps to go through, so I want to just clarify a couple of those steps with these questions that have come in. So the first question comes from Ava, and she is looking for the best fortunate name for her mom. And so Ava asks, because there are so many options that I found, I was looking at her birth chart to get more information. Can you offer thoughts on how you go about this? Well, you know, Ava, in Webinar 5, what I explain is that the only thing you need in the actual birth code, the numerology code, is the birthday, because you're working with the day of birth and the life purpose number, those two numbers. And for your mom, those are, she's born at 7/11/1958. That's the info you gave me. So she has a 11 day of birth, and she has a 32-5 life purpose number. So the two numbers that I would look at are 2 and 5, and they don't figure in at this point anymore because none of them are 4 or 8. So remember, the reason we look at the birthday is to see, does a person have a 4 or 8 in their birthday, and or are they born on the 15th or have a 15 life purpose, which kids who are born in this century can have a 15 life purpose. So those are the numbers that we looked at, and I won't go through all the reasons why now in this call, but that's why we use the birthday. Now, in your case, your mom is good to go with any fortunate name number, and so we are looking at her names. Now, one of the things I noticed, Ava, is that you were calculating names and reducing them to a single digit, and that is not allowed in current name calculations. So, for example, for the sake of Numerology Academy group members, one of the names you gave me was Melanie, spelled M-E-L-E-N-I-E. So M-E-L-E-N-I-E, and then Anderson is the last name, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. And so you correctly calculated that Melanie, spelled that way, is a 28, 10-1, and Anderson is a 32-5. But then you added the 1 and the 5. And that adds up to 6. And in current name calculation, we don't use single digits as the name number. We always have to have at least a two-digit number. So that would mean from 10 above can be current name numbers. So in this case, since Melanie is 28 and Anderson is 32, we add 28 plus 32, and that equals 60. So that spelling is a 60 current name, not a 6 current name. And yes, it does reduce to 6, and that plays a role as well. But 60 is actually her number, and then 6, it reduces to the number 6. Okay, so I just wanted to get that clear to everyone that we don't add up a number like 4 plus 5 equals 9 or something equaling 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, whatever it is, we always come from the double digit that the full name adds up to. Now, if we have two numbers such as 5 plus 5 for the two names, like for example, let me give you another example with Ava's mom. One of the examples she gave me was M-E-L-E-N-Y. That's M-E-L-E-N-Y, and that's a 23, which reduces to 5. And we already know that Anderson is a 32, which reduces to 5. So we have two 5s in that spelling of Melanie and that spelling of Anderson. So 5 plus 5 equals 10, and that's the lowest double digit there is. So 10 is actually the correct number for that version of her mom's name. So that is number one. Number two, you asked me that you didn't realize or you don't have a good understanding of how a 9 current name affects people. What it is that there are a couple 9 current names that are fantastic, and those are 27, 36, 45, anything above 18 actually is highly fortunate, okay? Except for if you have a 99, which is very rare. It's rare to get a really high number like that, but 99. And the reason is the number 18 is the one current name that reduces to 9 that is not recommended. It is definitely a challenging number. So 18 is not something you would use, okay, for your clients. And you can let them know if they have a current name that is an 18 right now that they, you know, it indicates strife or it indicates people within their circle, whether it's a family circle or social circle, that may use divisive tactics or that may actually undermine you, or that there is deception, you know, possibly within the family or the friendship circle. So that's definitely not recommended. Now, the other numbers that I mentioned are absolutely highly fortunate, from 27 to 36 to 45, and they indicate a lot of support and success if you use your imagination, your mind, your intelligence, and your creativity, your originality. So if you're original and you really listen to your inner voice and are not intimidated or influenced by others, the way they feel about your ideas, you just let that go and you just go with what is, you know, in integrity with your intuition, then those name numbers are really very, very fortunate. Okay, and then finally, you ask me about her actual birth name, because you say that she has two 5s in her core 3 numbers. No, you ask about her code. Okay. She has two 5s in her core 3 numbers, right. So would it be wise for her to pick a fortunate name that is a 5, or would that be unbalancing, even though it is a fortunate number, because she already has two other 5s? You know, that's a really good question. And First of all, in some instances, you basically only have one or two choices, sometimes just one choice, that can work for the person that they're happy with. And if I had this situation, where I had a client who has two fives in their three core numbers, and the only name that was fortunate for them was a 32-5, I would absolutely go with it, because the rule of thumb with fortunate names, which are based on your current signature, your current name, is that it just has to be fortunate. It doesn't have to line up with your birth code. Your birth code is a very different part of your blueprint. So that's how I would answer that question, because really, in the end, what matters most is that the resonance, the frequency of that current name is a good one. Okay, so I hope that answered your questions. They were good, and I know you had a lot of different versions here, but I have to say, whatever feels most comfortable to your mom, what does she resonate with? And you might want to give her not, you know, 10 options or 5 options even, but maybe just 2 or 3, so she doesn't get overwhelmed by the spelling, and then she can sleep on it or meditate on it or get a visceral immediate response, you know, when you present those names to her. And then that will help you also, you know, get perspective on what name she, you know, resonates with, because she has to also really feel connected to it, okay? All right, so let's move on. And by the way, if you're on the call, I am going to get 2 questions after I do a couple emails, and then you can do a follow-up with me. Okay, so Jacqueline sent in an email that included a name question, so I'm going to answer that next. She says, do the first name and surname have to be favorable numbers, meaning the separate first name and surname, or are we only concerned with the total number? Yes, I have answered that before, and it's always a good question to ask, because people, you know, obviously naturally want their first name or their last name both to be, you know, fortunate numbers, but really it does not matter. It is the total, it is the sum that matters, the 5 plus, you know, whatever you add, 5 plus 9 is 14, not whether, you know, it's 18-9 or something like that, that is one of the names. It does not matter. So, for example, my first name, Tanya, is a 12, and Gabrielle reduces to a 7 because I have a 10 current name. So, and the, both those numbers wouldn't be recommended as, you know, name numbers, but they're, you know, my name is not only Gabrielle, and it's not only Tanya. I'm not Madonna or Cher, where, you know, I just use a single name. So that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It really, the sum is what matters, the sum total. Okay, so we're now moving on to another topic. Jacqueline did have another question, and that is, when looking at a natal chart, if we see that the personal year number is the same number as one of the houses, what would be the significance and how would we read this? Okay, this is a very interesting question. Now, first of all, when you say one of the houses, if you're talking about, you know, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth house, that's one thing. You can, you know, definitely make a correlation to that, you know, like if you're in a 3 personal year, you can look at the third house of communication, which it means the same thing in numerology, is communicating, and you can say, yes, that house is activated, you know, naturally. But what I really pay attention to is the cusps of the houses, and you need to know the exact birth time for this. So that means the numbers that are the actual degree numbers in front of each of your houses in your astrology chart. So if a person is in a 12-3 personal year and they have a cusp on two of the houses, always two, of course, let's say the fourth house and the opposite 10th house are at 12 degrees, then that personal year is activating those houses. The meaning of the houses. If there are planets in them, it's activating those planets, but it's definitely activating what the fourth and tenth house mean to that person. So it's actually a two-part answer. The more important part is the actual numbers. And I want to take this even further, Jacqueline, because I know you probably were referring to first, second, third, fourth, fifth houses, etc. But in terms of my answer with the degree numbers reflecting the same number as your personal year, that can be extended to the degree numbers of planets. So let's say somebody's having a, you know, is in a 21 personal year, 21-3, and their sun lies at 21 degrees and their Uranus lies at, let's say, 12 degrees. That's still, you know, 12-3, 21-3. Both those planets are affected, especially the sun at 21-3 degrees, because that personal year is directly activating the code. You know, and in the end, what numbers do is they form geometric correlations, they form very interesting diagrams, and they trigger each other if they're the same number or mirroring each other, like the number 12 and the number 21. When you write them down, they're reverse mirroring each other. So that's how you can play with numbers, and that's what makes it so fun and exciting, is you're really going out and you're searching for numbers that are bouncing off each other in that way. So that answers that question. A couple of your questions, Jacqueline, are not for Numerology Academy. One is for a future forecast formula. I will answer that tomorrow. And then the other one is for Design Your Destiny, the event, and I can answer that in your email, okay? So I'll get back to you on those. And then we have one more email from Elaine. And so she asks a couple really fantastic questions. And the first is, are there specific indicators in the astrology chart to look for if a person wanted to do a life purpose reading? Okay, so this is a really big question, because I'm assuming when you say life purpose, you don't necessarily only mean the life purpose number that you get when you add the whole birthday, right? So what I would say to you in terms of finding the purpose for somebody's life, that really takes an in-depth reading, and yes, the astrology is definitely plays a part, okay? So what I would say is definitely look at the ascendant, the sign, the number, the midheaven, the sign, the degree number, the sun, the sign of the sun, of course, sun sign, the moon, and the degree numbers of both, and what planets rule the sun sign. So if the sun is in Gemini, you also want to look at Mercury, which rules Gemini, and see where is Gemini, at what house is Gemini in, what degree number, and what sign is it in. So really, it's the house, the sign, and the degree number that you want to look at with planets. And then, in addition, the ascendant and midheaven signs and degree numbers. Those are the main points. And when I say the planets, I mean the sun and the moon and the ruling planets of the sun sign and the moon sign, the ascendant and the midheaven. So that's a really big picture, but you want to, if you really want to go into life purpose, that's really where you need to start. And, you know, to get an idea of where the person is situated, where their meaning comes from, what makes them feel purposeful, which is directly, obviously, related to the life purpose, what makes them feel fulfilled and on purpose, and what brings meaning. Those are the places to look for that. And then, of course, there would be an in-depth astrology and numerology reading that you would do as well, that goes into the deeper parts of their chart, where you start looking at, you know, the whole picture, right, the whole geometry. One thing you can check, for example, is, are many planets above the horizon or below the horizon? That means above the ascendant or below the ascendant. You know, above means they're more extroverted. Below means they are more private. They may not share quite as much. You know, but that doesn't mean that they're not deeply spiritual and absolutely, you know, both up and down can mean deeply spiritual experiences, but one is more open with it and shares it and is more happy being out there with, you know, what it is they discover. The other one is maybe more related to writing a book about it, or, you know, being more private but still able to share, but in a different way, maybe not necessarily as somebody who goes out and speaks all the time, you know. But then you also look at the numerology code. You know, what do those numbers represent as well? So it's really, this is where your intuition comes in, where you're weaving together a picture, and you really start tuning into the person, and you take their code and their astrology chart as an entry point into a journey of discovery that you go through with them. So every person is unique. Every client has a very, very special, amazing code that they're expressing, and it's really your role to help them, you know, access that code as deeply as you can in that moment of the consultation. Okay, so, and then you also asked, when doing a future forecasting, for a person, we have their birth time and information. What charts do you use to do an annual forecast, like for the year 2014? Would you use you say the here and now, so you're talking about, would you use the transits for the beginning and the end of the year? Can you use solar arcs? Do you look at the signs that the planets are in and make an interpretation from there? Do the houses come into play at all? Many of these questions will be covered tomorrow. I will actually just move your question into the future forecast formula questionnaire pile here for me. But some of them actually are definitely pertinent to Numerology Academy. And that is, when you set up their forecast, you want to look at the personal years numbers that they're going through. If they're born in January, they just have one personal year number. But anything after, from February onwards, they have two personal years, one they're completing from the previous year and one they're about to start on their birthday, in their birthday month. So you would look at both of those. You would see how they correlate to their birth chart. Okay, so that's important. Always look at the correlations. And then you also want to look, like you said, at the transit charts. But what you do is you draw up, you actually print out the important transits for the whole year if you're doing a yearly reading. And then you print out the important progressions for the whole year, which is a much shorter chart that you would have. And you just look at the ones that are important, and you do a reading on those transits and progressions. And you align those up, obviously, with the personal year and even the personal month, right? So if there is, for example, you know, if the Sun and Saturn are squaring up, let's say Saturn is squaring the natal Sun in March 2014 for one of your clients, you want to look at what houses that's happening in, what the personal year, personal month is in March, how that would align with that person depending on those numbers, and obviously understand what Saturn represents to the person, and that it would be a very active time, you know, because squares activate and trigger and challenge you to grow up. And so where is Saturn doing that in the chart, and how is that related to their personal year? It definitely felt differently in a 7 personal year than in an 8 personal year, for example. So you want to just color it with all those different nuances. Okay, so again, that takes practice, and it just takes tuning in to your client as well. So those are basically the main steps that you would go through. The personal year numbers, you look at the personal months, you see how they relate to the 3 important birth numbers, you look at the transit chart for the year, and you look at the progressed planet charts for the year as well, especially progressed moon and sun. Those are the two. If you want to work with anything, work with progressed moon and progressed sun, okay? And then finally, Elaine asks, I told you there were a lot of questions, so we're covering a lot today. So Elaine has one more, and she says, in relation to the astrological chart showing the houses, do the signs and planets progress counterclockwise through the houses? Yes. The signs, well, what it is the way the sun, the earth revolves around the sun, the way it's set up in astrology, the signs and planets that are transiting, that are happening like right now or that are progressed, that are in the outer circle of a bi-wheel chart. So let's say the inner circle is your natal chart, and the outer circle are the planets the way they are now. The way they're moving around your natal chart is counterclockwise, yes. That's how it works. So even the houses, you know, the way you count the houses from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that is a counterclockwise motion. Okay, so that's how that works. All right, so those were Elaine's questions, and now I'm going to open it up to you. If you have a question, press *6, and let's get started with, let's see, this is 404 area code. Hello?
Hey, Tanya, this is Ava.
Oh, hi, Ava. I'm glad you're on the call.
Yeah, thanks so much. I think you pretty much thoroughly answered that question, and it was really helpful. So just as a follow-up, so you add up the first and the last in any way to get the lowest number that's 10 or above. So sometimes you may reduce it and sometimes you may not.
No, it's not the lowest number. The one step that I did not mention is, for example, you have, let me just give you a good example of this. Yes, here's a good one. All right, let's, so the whole group understands this. One of the spellings you gave me was Melanie spelled M-E-L-E-N-I-E, and that's a 2810-1. And then Anderson, of course, is 32-5. So what you don't do is add 10-1 to 32-5. You add 28 plus 32. You always add the highest double-digit number. So don't reduce the 28 to the 10 and say, okay, it's 10 plus 32, right? You mm-hmm. once if you know, because that Melanie adds up to 28101, that spelling, so that's a 1. And Anderson is 32-5, that's a 5. 1 plus 5 is 6, we cannot use that. Don't then add 10 plus 32. Add 28 plus 32, the highest double digit.
Oh, I see. So first you test the reduced to see if it's 10 or above, and if it's not, then you use the highest double digit.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Got it. Cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then I had two other questions from what you were talking about. So is it more important if, okay, so this year is a shed year, but then if someone has a personal year of a different number, is it more important to pay attention to the house cusps that are the personal year number or the overall year number?
That's a great question. I love it. You know what? You know, in a seven universal year, I do pay attention to sevens in a person's code, because I know that number is activated. So I just want to see, well, is it there? Is it present in that person's life anywhere? Even in a letter in their name, you know, do they have a seven? And if so, then it's something that they are tuning into because they're used to the number. The number is part of their fabric, their makeup. And so if their son is at 16-7, I know this universal year, even though it's not their personal year, will have an effect on them because it is, you know, it's activating that number. But in terms of what's more important, the most important is their personal year. So, you know, if they happen to be in a 3 personal year this year, for most of the year or part of the year, then that number 3 is the one that is triggered specifically to them. So it is more important because it literally is based on their birthday, right? So it's unique
right.
to them, to that person. Yeah.
Okay.
And the same
That's
goes
really
for
helpful.
Personal month and personal day. Yeah. Good. But just keep in mind, like just last year, the 6 was triggered for everyone. This year, the 7 really, you know, we are all going to have a lot of breakthroughs this year. And breakthroughs of the unexpected kind. And so it's really neat when you see where the breakthroughs might happen, and you can discover that in their codes, you know, in their astrology and their numerology, like what areas might be affected for them, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's really neat.
And so, if someone has in their core 3 members a 7, you know, aside from it just being more activating for them, how exactly would you describe it? Like, I mean, my boyfriend has 3 so I'm sure he's going to feel it in a really unique way, but I'm sure there's other people that have,
Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. I'm losing you. Are you,
can you
repeat that?
Yeah. The whole question or just the last part?
No, just your boyfriend, where his numbers are.
Oh, yeah. His 3 numbers are 7s.
All 3 numbers are 7s. Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This year, oh, yeah. I mean, he is a 7, basically. That defines him, that number. So being in 2014 is a major, major growth year for him. You know, and it, you know, he's really going to feel that essence of who he is, that 7 essence this year. So that's a really good example. I mean, even if you just have 1 7, let's say your destiny number is a 7, you are affected by this 7 year. You know, one of my numbers is a 6, and I was definitely affected last year by that number because it was a 6 universal year, and I got back together with my husband, which is all about love and family. You know, our family got back together. We moved in together. We got back together. So even though it wasn't a personal year 6 for me, it was still reflected by the universal year number. So, yeah, it will definitely affect him.
Yeah, I guess I'm more looking for words to explain to anyone, even, you know, other people that just have 1 7, like the words to explain more than just saying it's a very activating year for you, like giving them specific examples of what it does for them if the year is 7 and one of their core 3 numbers is 7.
Ah, okay. Well, that Numerology Academy does really, you know, go into deeply into those numbers. But basically the 7 is the number of spiritual wisdom and going within very deeply to find out, you know, your core connection to the divine. And so getting out, for example, for your boyfriend who is a 777, nature would be very important anyway. This year in particular, to have time to reflect and rest and be in a state where he feels inspired to look within. Now, that doesn't mean he has to be, you know, meditating all the time. It just means that within his life, he needs to feel the meaning, the purpose of why he's here. What are his values? You know, what are his true core values? Is he doing things because of other people's expectations of him, or, you know, is he really discovering what comes from within? What does he love to do, right? What is his perspective? So it's a very psychic number. It's a number of learning. So so people who have sevens love to learn. They love to read. They love to just explore and stimulate their mind in that way and gather more and more wisdom. So that will be stimulated, whether they are teaching it or learning or both. Usually it's both. If you're a teacher, you're always learning. So, and their intuition is really heightened. So they need to listen, like when stuff, if something unexpected happens, their intuition is basically being activated. They're being literally, you know, told to go within and respond from within, you know. So it's definitely that it looks like a lightning strike. It brings experiences to them that allows them to truly just dig deeply and get that lightning strike answer in that moment in time. You know, so when I say breakthroughs, I literally mean breakthroughs. So for them, if they have something happen, for example, my friend, his mother passed away this morning. She was quite old, and still, when a parent passes, it's a major, major, always huge, you know, transformation for the child whose parent has left the planet. And my good friend is a 77 himself, and his mother too had a 7 in her 3 numbers. So there was a deep connection there from them in anyway, because he relates to the 7 by virtue of his destiny number, which is 77. And so for him, the breakthrough was just having a deeply spiritual experience with an angelic presence earlier this morning, and, you know, a deep spiritual experience with his dad that he could have never had otherwise, but they just, you know, had an incredible moment together that they shared, you know, and it's very much about healing that spiritual side within you. I know that's a long-winded answer, but I hope that gave you some insight.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, anything else you wanted to ask?
Well, I mean, if you need to move on to the next person, that's definitely okay. But I'm sure I could come up with another question if there's extra time.
Well, just ask it real quick. I can answer it.
Okay. So are the house cusps more important for the personal year than planets, or than the planet degrees, or would you consider them the same?
Say that again, the house cusp.
If the personal year is reflected in a house cusp and or a planet, like are house cusps more important?
Oh, which is more important?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, great question. You know, I always weigh to whatever catches my eye, to tell you the truth. This is where the intuition comes in. So if you know the personal year is a 13 and your eyes go to the chart and you see that 13 Neptune, then pay attention to that 13 Neptune. Then later on you may see, oh, the second and eighth house are 13 as well. Look at those as well. But whatever catches your eye first that you notice, just pay attention to that. The other way to do it is if you notice all the 13s at once, because you just have, you know, that kind of experience, then they all matter. But in the end, they all matter, okay? It's just a matter of you tuning into, well, what is it? Where am I being taken on this journey as I'm interpreting for my client? So, you know, when you do read the chart, you will read it, obviously, before you have the reading, right? But then, and so you notice these correlations before you actually get on the phone with your client. When you're on the phone with your client, you're actually being guided, you know. So let yourself be guided to where to go first, what to talk about first. Because when you're live with the person, that's when the magic happens too. Yes, you can receive a lot, you know, beforehand. But when you're on the phone with them, you're really tuned in. And that's when you are guided to whichever of those numbers, cusp or planet, are to be talked about, and in what order, and then you really experience that journey with them, you know, of discovery. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so then if it is a 13 year for them, and then they have some 4s and 13s in their natal chart, are the 4s and 13s equivalent, or is the 13 hold more weight?
I go to
exactly
the 13 first. Yeah, I go.
Okay.
If there's a 22, or there's no 31, of course, because we only have 30 degrees. If there's a 22 or a 4, I definitely look at those as well, but I go to the 13 first, just because it is
okay.
The actual two-digit number. Yeah.
So helpful. Thanks.
You're welcome. Great question. Okay, so then we have 616 area code. That is Jackie, I believe.
Yeah.
Hi,
Tanya.
Yay. So what is your question? Is this your first time on a Numerology Academy call?
Well, I'm usually working at this time, but today
I happen
to be
off.
Oh,
it's a holiday. That's right. I wrote
about
it.
So here I am.
Yay. I'm so glad you're there. Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
So what's your question?
Well, my question is, I was wondering if you have any thoughts or you've made any observations on people that have intercepted signs.
Hmm. Wow. You know, that is very, you mean like in the houses, right?
Yeah, the sign
about?
Is not on a cusp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, I have. Now, there's many things that can happen. Some people have, you know, two very large houses if they're born, especially like in the very northern hemisphere. And you can literally have a sign within a house that doesn't ever touch a cusp. The sign still matters. And that's the first part of my question. I'll get to the other part in a minute. The sign still matters, but it does obviously envelop that house. But the cusp signs have a particularly strong effect on the house. Even if it is a late, you know, degree number, let's say it's 28 degrees Taurus, you know, that's on the cusp of your eighth house or something. Taurus does rule that house, even though then 2 degrees later Gemini comes in. Yes, Gemini has a big effect on the house, and there are probably going to be planets there as well. But Taurus actually has the, you know, takes the meaning of the house. Does that answer your question?
Well, because, you know, the people that have the intercepted signs, they have, they're going to have two, because the opposite sign will also be in a house and not on a cusp. So
yeah.
They have, like, well, I'll give you an example. Like, it's kind of strange that I only have work with three pharmacy techs, and two of the techs have the situation. So I have one tech who has Leo and Aquarius intercepted, which means, and she has like Scorpio on two cusps, and she has Taurus on the two opposite cusps. Okay, and then I have another tech that has a Libra and Aquarius intercepted, so she has Sagittarius on two of her house cusps and Gemini on the the opposite two. So does that mean then that the two cusps that have the double, like the two with Sagittarius and the two with Gemini, are they more important? Or
yes, they do double duty. They do double duty.
Okay.
They basically do double duty. That's what that means, because they're on the by double duty, I mean, you know, they're working extra hard. They're,
okay,
they're taking on more. And so those signs you have to pay attention to, more, because they do have a bigger effect on your life. And so I'd have to actually see the actual chart to show you how. In fact, if you want to bring one of those, when you come to LA at the end of the month, you can do that, and I can look at that with you. But yeah, we can definitely look more closely. But yes, it definitely means they're working harder, and it just is something that that makes a big impression on that person. And it also can show sometimes an additional power that they have. But again, I'd have to look at their chart specifically see how all the planets relate to each other as well, you know, the ruling planets of the signs, et cetera.
Okay. So, okay. And then so the actual signs that are intercepted, could it be that they are like more hidden in the person? Like, for instance, the person that I have that has Leo and Aquarius intercepted, she has a Leo sun. And if I didn't know that about her, while she does have physically what I would consider Leonine characteristics physically, she does not come off as a Leo to me at all. So,
well, that's interesting. Does she come across more as a Cancer?
Yes. Yes,
because
she does.
Okay, there's a reason. Because the intercepted sign requires the mastery of the preceding sign.
Okay.
And that usually takes time. It takes time, so, you know, meaning they learn that, but it requires that kind of mastery. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So that's what, you know, the preceding sign then is important as well.
Okay.
You see, so, there is a whole mystery behind intercepted signs. They do indicate hidden gifts as well. But they're hidden, like you said. It's more secret, right?
Definitely. But I think it's supposed
to come. You may not necessarily
see
it. Yeah.
But I think it's supposed to come out in her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that she is meant to be out in the world, in my opinion.
Right.
But she's not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I mean. There is that mystery about them, and they even have a sense of secrecy or mystery, and you know, that sense of, you know, needing to pull through that. So there is, yeah, it's a great question, and one that I didn't cover in Numerology Academy. It's a more of a deeper part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some people say there are also karmic implications of things that weren't completed in the past life that need to come out, right? So there may be issues of just having to complete something before they can reflect those gifts, you know, that are in the sign, the intercepted sign.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. And, I will bring, because she's fascinating.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Great. Okay, we'll see you next week then.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Jackie.
Yep, thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, then we have area code 773. Hello?
Hi, it's Jacqueline. How are you?
Hey, Jacqueline. Good to see you.
Thank
you
so much. I'm fine. Thank you so much for answering the question, because you answered exactly what I was looking for. That's what I was really asking, actually. And also, thank you for sharing about your friend with his mom and her transition, because I just had a friend that passed this year.
Aww.
So thank you. I have
awesome.
A question. You mentioned something about 2 personal years, and that's exactly, I was like, okay, I don't know what she means, but I think I do. That was kind of what I wanted to ask about. And that's about people that are born at the end of the year, like maybe September,
mm-hmm.
October, November, December. And I'm trying to figure out, are you saying that, are we using when we're trying to find a personal year, for example, let's say if a person is born November,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to find out their personal year for this year, are we using the 2013 as well as the 2014? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because, see, they were born, let's say, November 6th.
Okay.
You know, in the 1900s. And so it doesn't matter the year they're born when you do personal year. It's the month and the day. So let's say November 6th. And so their actual life purpose was activated on that day, even though it was late in the year. So they had a full personal year of whatever they were born with for a year. So their personal years start on November, you know, in the month of November.
Okay.
So you want to take 11/6/2013 for most of 2014 for that person. And then once their birthday hits 2014, that's when they start their 2014 personal year. Does that make sense? So you start on the birthday month.
Right. So you start on the birthday.
So,
I guess what my question is, are you doing the method that Faith Dusty Bunker does in the book? What is it? Numerology and the Divine Triangle?
You know, I don't remember what method she uses.
She breaks it up into 4 different periods. I'm just trying to find out that, are you using that? So, okay, don't worry about it, because I can just go back and look at her book. What I'm trying to get an understanding of, okay.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about now. You triggered me when you said 4 different periods. Yes, you know, I find that especially the halfway period between
mm-hmm.
your birthday, so for this person, this hypothetical person, born on November 6th, the halfway period would be May 6th, right? So that 6-month anniversary of the birthday is a high point. And she talks about every, you know, that happens at 3 months and 9 months as well. Is that what you're talking about? Where you're?
Well, she's saying something about adding your, what does she say? I'm going to actually refer to the page if I can. And, of course, I wouldn't be able to find it now that I'm looking for it. But anyway, she says that always happens, you know. She says that you're taking, I guess you're adding the age to the, in order to find the personal year, you're adding that person's age.
I don't do that. I don't do the age adding. I do
okay,
know what
fine.
I do. I do the age, not to the year, unless she's saying look at their age. Yes, I do, when I do readings, look at your age as well. So if you're 55, and that means the number 10, you know, if you're turning 55 on November 6th, then during that next year, the number 10-1, 55-10-1, is going to be important for you as well, right? So I do look at the age, but the personal year is first. And then I look at the age as well, and I look at what actual correlations are made.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
She's adding the age to the first 4 months after, so like saying.
No, I don't do that.
Okay, fine.
I don't do that.
So my question then is, that's good. That was one of my questions. Did you do that? The answer is no. The hypothetical person on November 6th, 2013, if we actually
mm-hmm.
did it, I don't know what the numbers come out to. Let's pretend the numbers come out to be a 5 or something.
Let's
they're
not
in a personal.
Pretend. Let's just add them.
Pardon?
1 + 1 + 6 plus, you know, 2013 was a 6, right? That's pretty easy. So we've got 14.5 for that person's personal year.
Yeah,
14,
right.
5.
So it came.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, fine. I didn't even know. Okay, so anyway, personal year is 5. So that means that right now in November to the end of, so what happens when the January hit? Is that person still in a 5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
okay.
The way I do it. And like
right.
I said, some
and so then when they
do
get to
January
be...
for everybody. Yeah. I don't do it. I personalize it. I do it from birthday to birthday. Some neurologists do everybody in January changes.
I know.
So
I don't.
What I found with myself and my family and my clients, just studying for many years, my sense is that it shifts on your birthday. That's what I've personally discovered. But you need to also watch your personal year and see is that true for you. Because I want everybody to go on this journey and not take my word for it, you know, because it's important you tune in. So
I totally agree with
what
you just said, because that's what I have done, and that's why I kind of a long time ago kind of sat down and figured out some things and said it makes sense to me that the personal year would start on your birthday. That's what I figured out for me. But my question is, so that means with this hypothetical person on November 6th, that means in 2014, November 6th, then she would go into her personal year 6, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly,
but
right.
You mentioned something earlier. Maybe I misunderstood you. You said that there would be two personal years. Are you saying that at that 6 months?
That's
month,
what I mean.
Thank you.
That's what I mean. That she, that this hypothetical person is in a six personal, 14, sorry, in a 14-5 personal year now, and then still in 2014, which is a calendar year as we know it, she enters her other next personal year. That's why I said two.
Right.
Because most people have two in one calendar year.
Right. Because
their birthdays are not in January. Right.
Exactly.
So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Very helpful.
Great question.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jacqueline. And by the way, tomorrow, tune in. I'll answer your other ones, okay?
Oh, okay. There's a session tomorrow at 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
In my time, yeah, okay.
You're in Chicago. Yes, 2 in Chicago, yes.
Wonderful.
Right.
Thank you so much. I'll be there.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. And then we have, looks like Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. How's life in San Francisco?
Fabulous. Lovely.
Good. Is it sunny?
Yeah, sunny. We've had warm days. It's been
yes.
Amazing.
I know. It's
like
been in
summer.
The 80s here. It's somewhat strange, too.
Yeah, I guess. Part of the seven, right? Seven.
That's right.
Strange
that's
weather.
Right. Yep. Strange. Strange is a good word. Weird and strange for the number seven. I like that. My daughter would love those words, actually. Okay, so what's your question?
Okay, so I have a couple of questions. I don't know if you can answer all of them. Okay, so one of my questions is this that came up when you were talking. Okay, so for instance, I'm in a 9 personal year, going into my 1 personal year in May. I'm a 7, you know, I have 7 as one of my main numbers. So does that have, you know, is there something that's special that's triggered in that kind of situation, or is it just, you know, normal, abnormal?
So, okay, so you're born on a 7 day, is that right?
Yes.
And you said you're in a 7 year now or going
into
one?
Oh, I'm in a 9 year. I'm in a 9 year, going into a 1 year.
Oh, going into 1 year, excuse me. Okay, but you are a 7, right. Okay, yes, absolutely. You know what? When you switch from that 9 to the 1, which you're about to do, it's an epoch that's ended. You know, 9-year cycle has ended. So the energy you're going to feel, you know, right now you're still in release mode, ending mode, but the energy you're going to feel in, around your birthday, particularly because it is also a 7 universal year, which that number in itself is about breakthroughs. And when you have, when you celebrate an end of a cycle in a breakthrough year, for you, it's almost like you're going to literally break through something.
That's what you're going to say. I'm going to burst into flames.
Yes. 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 Don't do that, but yes, it'll feel like that. That, yeah. I mean, spiritually, the awakening that can happen for you, and I mean, like, I don't mean, you know, in a, necessarily in a sort of woo-woo, new-agey way, but I mean spiritually just the connection you'll feel in your life that will translate in every part of your life, relationships and vocation and family and friends, and, you know, that connection will really bring some major changes for you. So really be open to shift, because for you it's definitely the year of shifting into, you know, a brand new understanding of who you truly are and what you can do. The seven really does, I know it sounds strange, even though it's the number of the sabbatical and rest and meditation, because it is also the breakthrough number, it does really motivate you from the inside out. So it doesn't mean you're sitting still during the year. It just means you're coming from stillness. You're coming from stillness. So everything you do will be imbued with a deep sense of peace and fulfillment. And it's very, very powerful, this number. That's why it's considered so lucky and spiritual by most cultures, you know, is the number, the lucky number seven. So, I'd say absolutely. You know, it's exciting. I mean, I'm excited by the year, and I don't have any sevens, big sevens in my numerology code. The only big seven I have is Gabrielle, starts with the seventh letter of the alphabet. Which, by the way, is a clue to this number, because the letter G, which is the seventh letter, is literally a figure of the galaxy. The letter G represents the galaxy, right? So it's an intergalactic feeling with this number. It connects to the rest of the universe and to our origins. You know, so going back to you, that's where you come from. I mean, I know you too. You know, so I know you have that connection, you know, you understand that. So, and your work is about that. It's reaching out into the ethers, you know, with the readings you do. So you'll really feel a breakthrough in that regard. And I would say focus on your career, getting that really, you know, activated, because I feel for you that you're going to take it to a new level this year.
Yeah, that feels good. Actually, it's funny because I feel very motivated and very disciplined right now, which is completely opposite from how I usually feel. So it's kind of strange, but beautiful.
A true seven. That's so funny.
It's kind of funny that people around me are saying, you know, they've kind of been pushed into this place of forced to rest, or, you know, in a sense of embryonic rest.
Yes.
And and for me, it's the opposite. I don't feel that at all. I feel like I'm
Do you know why? Because you're there to help them do that. So you're being woken up to actually help others accomplish that feeling within them. See, so that's one of your roles. So sevens are being tuned in to wake up to teach this. I mean, seven is one of the teaching numbers. So that's why I'm saying focus on your career. Your work, you know, your vocation, because people will want you and need you and will value you. Seven really defines values. So if you are able to bring out somebody's true value and help them discover those, you have woken them up for life. That's something they'll be grateful for forever, you know. So that's where you step in. And so you're woken up and you feel all invigorated and they're like... They do need to rest. We do. You know, it is. You know. But, you know, if you look at the number seven, too, it provides direction. It literally points somewhere. Right? So it has two arms pointing. And so there are many things. When you start actually doodling and writing these numbers out and playing with them and seeing what do they look like, they look like two wings. They look like an arrow. They look like, you know, just play with that, because it gives you an idea of the actual essence of the number, because it is sacred, it is a symbol, and it means something very specific to you at that moment, you know, that you can channel. So I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but you're supposed to play with this right now.
Something I need to know, which is actually really important. It's interesting for me because I do, you know, because I'm a visual person, I need that.
That's why. Okay.
That's, and you know, I'm supposed to get more creative by actually doing things with my hands. So that's really helpful. In fact, I do have another question. I don't know if you have time for that. But,
no, that's fine.
Okay. And that's not about the seven. But one of my questions is about a client of mine. When you were talking about house numbers, for instance, if four is a bad number, and I know you may have mentioned some of this in the thing, but I don't remember all of it. So 4 apparently is a bad number, and is this because it's related to the 8s and 4s, or is it because it's just because it's a square and it's a stuck thing?
No, not related to house numbers. That's just to current name numbers.
Okay, but what's the thing about having a 4? Why is 4 an unlucky house number?
Oh, you're talking about addresses.
When you say house,
I think astrological house. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's all houses. It's all addresses.
Yes, okay. The true physical abode we live in.
Galactic,
okay, got it.
Galactic addresses or whatever.
Galactic, right. Okay. All right, house numbers, yes. Okay, it's because, here's why. 13-4, 22-4, 31-4 addresses, they reflect hard work, and 4 is the number of work and discipline. So if you live in a house that reflects hard work, you will feel your life is hard. You know, you feel because you're constantly being asked to work. And in terms of prosperity and abundance, 4 is not considered a number that brings in finances. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be at an address and make good money. It just means it takes a lot of work to do it. You just have to. And so, and if you happen to be in a 13 house, you know, it just brings these unexpected events all the time that throw a wrench into your plans, because 13 is about life, death, transformation. And when you live in an actual vibration that has that, it just makes it more challenging, right? Because it doesn't feel like you can just be balanced and at peace with that kind of address. So, but if you live on the, you know, I know 13 floors are usually taken out, but if you happen to live on the 13th floor, but your condo resonates to a different number, you can really balance that out. So it's just when the house or the condo number either adds up to 13, let's say it's, you know, number 67 or something, it just makes, I mean, I've seen this in so many clients of mine, it just, you know, there's always something that's like throwing a wrench into their plans.
Yeah, that's interesting to say that, because I know a few people that are 4. So what is the thing with a 4? Like one of my clients, she has this 4, I think it's a 13-4, I don't remember, but comes to a 4, and I don't know the rest of the family's numbers. I only know her husband has a 7, and his 7 is day of birth. So how do you fix that? You know, she has a 2-5.
Okay, wait a minute. So one of her core numbers is, you're saying, a 4?
No,
is that what you're asking?
The house is a four.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't talking about numbers. So people with 13 numbers, this doesn't mean your life is like that, just so you know. It just means that if you live in a house like that and you're settling down in a space like that, yes. Well, if they live in a 4 house and she has a 7, you know, yes,
no,
now you're talking about a 5?
Yeah, she has 5. That was a 7. Do you have to take in every person's in the house's numbers?
When you do the actual relating of the numbers, you do the main 2 people. If it's the parents, you don't do the kids. You do the people who are providing for the income of the house. So the kids are, when they're children, they are affected by the parents, how the parents feel. So you don't have to do them. But definitely if there's 2 parents involved, you want to look at both. And then whatever remedy you use would have to be beneficial to both. And sometimes that can be a difficult one. Sometimes there's just one number that works. But you would hope that, you know, eventually they would leave if they can. Well, because, you know, I mean, yes, you can do a remedy, but you can find remedies, but they, you know, in the end, that number will still be listed on their address and everybody will be using it. So they have to really understand to tune into that remedy. You know, so for a 13-4 house, if the remedy is to put a 6 on the inside of the front door to make it 19-10-1, you know, 13 plus 6 is 19-10-1, then they themselves have to be coached to think of their address as a 19-10-1 address and remember that, you know, when they walk through that door, right? So because they're activating it just by virtue of putting their attention on it. They're paying attention to the shift as well. So anyway, that's one way.
Yeah.
So, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. That's interesting. And I have another client who has, the husband and wife both have fours and eights, and their house address comes to a four. I mean, it's a bunch of numbers.
But that's so common. You know, as I said, they attract each other. They're magnetically attracted to fours and eights. And they themselves are fours and eights. They attracted each other. Then they attracted the house. I bet you their phone numbers are fours and eights. And some of their kids have fours and eights. And it's one of those weird karmic numerology things that is, just there. I mean, it's like a code that that loves to be together, like a clan, you know, and not just with people, but like I said, with addresses, phone numbers. Even they'll find in hotel rooms and plane seats and flight numbers, and they'll see it everywhere once they know what to look for, you know, that they attract that. So it's fascinating, actually. So, them, the best number, of course, to just calm things down would be a six, just like I teach in Numerology Academy for the current names. So if they have a six house, if they can turn that number, so if you put a two inside the door, that would help them.
Oh, yeah, you know. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. Thank you. That's so much. I just want to ask you about your call that you're having, you know, the one about the numbers. The one you're doing on the 11th of February.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes.
So,
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, sounds really interesting. I'm not going to be in town. I'm actually going to see my mother. This will be the first time I've
That's visited. Okay. It's going to be available to watch at any time, actually. I'm going to have it
okay,
run,
so it's not a limited...
You know.
Not a limited...
No, if you miss it, you're not missing really... I'm launching it on February 11th for specific reasons, numerologically. I want to launch it on that day. But, you'll be able to watch it if you register, you can watch it for the rest of the year on this other, you know, just I'll provide a link so you can watch it, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's more stuff than...
And actually, I'm glad you brought it up. I totally, you know... forgot about it. We just had a big weekend in my home, and I am now tuning in back to what I'm here to do as an astroneurologist and not a mom and a wife. So I'm back. Thank you for bringing me back down to earth. Yes, I'm having this event, and it is next month on the 11th, and I do recommend, you know, for Numerology Academy to watch it, because it will cover, obviously, things that you can share with your clients and do for you, and it's always a good thing to see how to interpret the universal numbers and cycles astrologically and numerologically. So it's going to be really, really fun. I'm really looking forward to this one, because I'm just really excited about this year, this 2014 year. So after 2012 and 2013, this is really a very, very wonderful time of really, if you're open, you can really move and shift right now. And the seven just is a much lighter energy in many ways than we've had in the last 2 years, just because of the astrology and numerology that accompanied the last 2 years. There was a lot of paradigms being shifted. Right now, we're able to literally work with those changes and make them happen. So that's what's so exciting. So, that is happening, and thank you for bringing it up. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I was just wondering if there is, what's the correlation between the seven and the horse? Is there one?
Is the seven and the what?
The horse. Since it's for
Chinese. Oh, the horse. Okay. The horse year, yeah, it's supposed to start, I believe, the 30th. I was just talking to a Chinese mom yesterday. I think she said their new year starts the 30th of January or the 31st. So it'll be within that 2 week period that they hold so sacred, that we're having this event, actually. You know what? I am going to ask my acupuncturist about that. They're both from China, both of them, and they know extensively about that. So I will get back to you on that question. It's a very good question. I don't know enough about it. What I do know just from speaking to this lady yesterday is that there is a lighter energy than obviously the snake. The snake is about shedding your skin, and right? So it's very much more dramatic in a sense. The horse, there is, according to her, a lighter, freer energy of freedom. So, so
yeah,
that's good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I'm curious. I heard people saying it's about trudging forward. So I'm curious.
Yes, galloping forward, exactly. Mm. Not slithering like a snake.
No more skins to
big difference, time. Right?
Yeah,
oh,
I had this
God.
Weird vision in a dream. Yeah, I don't know. I had this weird vision in my dream the other night where it was kind of like a statue of a head, kind of a broken head, and these horses started pushing through the head and kind of charging through. So.
Yeah, well, I love the words you just used, the keywords, charging through. You know, that's definitely, I'm sure that's part of it. I mean, you know, the Asians are very connected to visuals, as you know, just their alphabet, the way they write, it's all very visual. So I'm going to do more research on it, talk to my two acupuncturists, it's a couple actually, next week, and see what I can add to that, because I love that idea of speaking about that as well, because it does matter too, you know. Great.
Mm.
Well, that's exciting.
Mm.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions?
I have one more question, if you can answer, and this is the one about, I have a client who has, in the 11th house, both the sun and the moon, and she's a Pisces, and this is, the 11th house is Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, is there something specific about it that just feels like, because, you know, everything about her is about the underworld in a sense. I'm just wondering, is there something significant? And the sun is
sun and moon are the light bodies. Yeah, and that's, you know, again, it's hard to give the complete reading without seeing everything, but sun and moon are her two personal light body planets, and they're both in the 11th house, which is super important for her, that house then, because they're both in there. Are they conjunct each other, or are they just in the same house?
Yeah, they conjunct. 12th house, not 11th.
Yeah,
12th. It's the
12th house. Okay.
It's 29.
Yes. Oh.
The sun.
Okay.
26 is the moon.
Oh, right. Okay. So yeah. So that's very close to a new moon too. So, let's just see that. Well, secrecy is sort of governed by you know, the Scorpio has that sense of it, and also Pisces with the Neptunian influence. The 12th house is actually ruled by Pisces and Neptune, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having the sun and moon in there absolutely shows that they're interested in secret knowledge. This person is very much interested in discovering, you know, what motivates people or what is the underlying reason behind things, and going below the surface to find answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anything related to the growth of the soul, you know, hidden things, hidden strengths, hidden weaknesses, that person can embody that, but also is interested in learning about it. So their dreams would be very important, and, you know, just anything related to spiritual studies, Neptune studies that. They have to be careful about deception, whether they're being deceptive or others are being deceptive towards them, because, you know, again, it's a double Neptunian influence there with Pisces. So their clairvoyant gifts are very accentuated with this, very accentuated. They're psychic gifts. So it's a very powerful position. They really have tremendous, can have tremendous insight into others, and their whole emotional makeup, their whole ego, you know, about how they feel about themselves and what motivates them is very, very deeply spiritual or hidden or hidden from even them. They may not even understand it. You know, it's the ability to tune into that that allows them to see their deep spirituality and how it affects everything that they do and colors everything that, that they do. So that's a very, it's the final house. It's the final house of the journey around the houses. So it carries a lot of wisdom. And so that's quite a pronounced, you know, because since they're even conjunct each other, that's quite a pronounced position. The sun is, where's the moon? Is the moon at 26 or the sun?
26 is the moon.
Okay, so that means it's the moon is about to come back to being new. And the sun is at a degree number that is very powerful, right? That 29 degrees. So that's a critical degree.
Yeah.
So that's important as well. So, yeah.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for your insight. Sometimes
you're
I know
welcome.
Things. I know there's something important, but I don't know what it is. So.
It is.
So I really
it is,
it.
Yeah. Well, you know, sun and moon together, and the sun and moon are really the two important planets you always want to check first anyway. So when they're conjunct each other and they're in the same house, you want to pay extra attention. It's very, very pronounced. Because that means their whole the whole essence of who they are, their feelings, and what motivates them. You know, the sun, the moon. The sun is your life force. And the moon is your deep inner feelings and emotions. So those two, the heart and the mind, the body, the soul, everything is contained really in those two light bodies. So when they're joined together like that, it's powerful in itself. But if it's done in Pisces, you know, it's there, and in the 12th house, which is like a double whammy right there. It's very. It just shows the depth of where this person can go, and also that they're really here to have a spiritual awakening and to help others, to facilitate others having that as well if they're able to. So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so those are all fantastic questions. I was so happy with all of your amazing insights and questions today, and like I said, you know, I say this in your email that I send out or that Molly sends out, that, you know, we're just driven by how we feel. So if you share your questions with me, we can share those with others, and we have this amazing, you know, breakthrough experience every time. For me as well, I love your questions. I love answering them. They give me tremendous insights. I love learning more from all of you and what you discover. So keep them coming, and, you know, enjoy the rest of this month, this 8 universal month in this 7 year. It's really quite something. I've been really enjoying the empowerment that I've received this month, and the learning experiences too that I'm having, you know, from the 7 that continues through the year, of course. So all of you, I wish you all well, and keep your questions coming. And we will talk again February. Can't remember the exact date, but it is, I think, right in mid-February that we'll get together. So, and I'll see a lot of you hopefully on February 11th on my webinar. So until then, have a great, great January. Happy New Year to all of you who celebrate the Chinese New Year. All right. Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.